Matthew chapter number 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Perez and Zerah of Tamar, and Perez begat Ezram, and Ezram begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. Now, to cause some of you to relax, I am not going to read the entire genealogy. And all the people said, amen. But I do want to read verse number 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You may be seated. Matthew chapter 1 gives us the royal lineage, the kingly lineage of the Lord Jesus. Here in these verses, we have read those early stages, beginning with Abraham and coming to David the king. Eventually, of course, we're told that Mary, of whom was born Jesus, it follows all the way through, who is called Christ. And the purpose of his coming, verse 21 tells us, is to save his people from their sins. Now, this chapter might be called Ruth chapter 5. There are only 4 chapters in the little book of Ruth. And in the last chapter of Ruth, we have a little of this genealogy connecting her and her posterity with David. I'm sure she never dreamed as a little Moabitess damsel, an outcast, a reject, as it were, in the divine economy, that she would be included in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here she is. You'll not find her mentioned anywhere else except Ruth chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and now Ruth chapter 5. Matthew chapter 1. She's not the only woman mentioned in the genealogy. You'll notice in verse 3, we read of Tamar. Remember, Tamar did not have the best record. She was tainted by sin. And then in verse 5, we're introduced to the second woman, Rahab. You recall, she didn't have the best record either. In fact, Everywhere else you read her name, for some reason, the Holy Spirit has added that stigma to her name. Rahab the harlot. But here in Matthew chapter 1, she's just called Rahab. Now, I don't want to get to preaching quite yet, but I'm tempted. You see, if you're connected to the Lord Jesus, all your past is forgotten. She's not just Rahab the harlot anymore. She's Rahab. And you're not looking at just Tom Hayes, the rotten sinner. I'm just Tom Hayes, saved by grace. The third lady or woman who became a lady mentioned in this setting is Mrs. Ruth. Of course, she too had a difficult past being a Moabite. She, in tracing her history, would find out that the origin of the Moabites was not a pleasant story. But somehow, God has incorporated her in His great plan. And she finds herself in the lineage of the Lord Jesus. I tell you what I want to say before I go any further. Grace, grace. Marvelous grace. How God can take sinners and by their union with Christ, make them heirs of God. How wonderful. How wonderful. Now, what is on my heart tonight is not a verse-by-verse treatise of this portion. I hope I'm known for preaching the Bible. That's why God called me, was to preach the Bible. And I've tried to do that in the previous services. Tonight, I want to preach Bible truth. But I'd like to use my imagination a little. And I would like to use Ruth as my illustration. You see, Ruth was the great-grandmother of David. Her son was named Obed. Obed's son, her grandson, was named Jesse. And one of Jesse's sons, David, which would be her great-grandson, became king. My simple thought tonight is she was kin to the king. And I'd like to remind each one of us who are saved. He shall save, Jesus shall save His people from their sins. Each one of us who are saved are kin to the king. I don't want you feeling sorry for me tonight because of my mountain heritage. I don't want you feeling sorry for me because of my minute background. I don't want you feeling sorry for me because I hail from Saluda of all places. I'm kin to the king. Now, if she's David, if Ruth is David's great-grandmother, if he is her great-grandson, then she would probably be 35 years older, maybe 40 years older than King David. At any rate, she's kin to him. can't help but think that there were occasions when she went to visit him. What grandmother or great-grandmother doesn't want to visit their grandchildren or great-grandchildren, especially if they're successful? So, Brother Ricky will help me here. I'm borrowing someone's walking stick tonight, because I'm sure that by this time, Mrs. Ruth's steps are getting a little slow. Someone may have asked her one day, why do you go to Jerusalem from time to time, Miss Ruth? We hear that you leave Bethlehem and go up the hill to Jerusalem. Why would you make that trip? And Miss Ruth would answer, oh, did you not know? I'm kin to the king. I have royal rights. I think we might call her rights, first of all, title rights. She had a name that was incorporated in David's lineage. She was no longer a nobody from Moab. She was no longer a loser. She's kin to the king. May I take just a moment to tell you, I'm no longer on the losing side. I'm kin to the king. King Jesus has saved me from my sins, and he has brought me into his kingdom of grace and love. I have title rights. Look at me. You may not be too impressed, but I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You know, I have never doubted the existence of God. I meet people who have. I've never had that battle. I think it's the way I was brought up. I was brought up in a God-fearing home. The year I was born, my dad was gloriously saved. And he went as far after Jesus as he had after the world in his previous years. And so I was brought up in a God-fearing home environment. And I had another advantage. I attended a gospel-preaching church. I might qualify that too. An anointed gospel preaching church. You know, the letter killeth. I said, well, he's preaching the Bible. Yeah, but without the energizing grace of the blessed Holy Ghost, it's as dry and dead as last year's birds. I was blessed to go to a Holy Spirit anointed gospel preaching church where the saints knew something about worship. They didn't have to be told what to do. Now we're going to do this next. Why don't you get full of God and you wouldn't be so predictable? At any rate, I grew up in that environment. Yet there must be a day, there had to be a time when God did a work in my heart. I'm grateful tonight that I don't just have to say that I'm a Hayes. Well, really, I'm more like my mama's people. I'm about 99% Hobart and 1% Hayes. I can tell you more than that. I'm a son of God. Amen. I am kin to the king. Now, before we go any further, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I wonder if you can claim that title, kin to the king. She had title rights. He was her great grandson. Of course, you know, in Bible times, they didn't catch a taxi. They didn't ride the afternoon or the morning bus. They hoofed it everywhere they went. The day came when she woke up early and she said, you know, I want to go see King David. I want to go see my great-grandson. And so she got everything ready and she set out for Jerusalem, 5 miles up the road. One of her neighbors was already up and she said, Miss Ruth, where are you going this time of morning? She said, well, I'm going to Jerusalem. You're going to Jerusalem? Well, that'll take you half a day. She said, yes, but I want to go. Why do you need to go to Jerusalem, Miss Ruth? She said, well, I wanted to see my great-grandson. And who's your great-grandson? Don't you know? She said, King David is my great-grandson. I'm kin to the king. And I'm going to go see him for the day. And so she makes her journey to Jerusalem. She's going to visit her great-grandson. She hobbles all the way there. But she has a deep desire to do it. So nothing is going to detract her. When she arrives at the big gate, 2 guards meet her. One of the guards whispers to the other guard, what's that elderly woman doing here? The other one says, shh. And I just lived down the road from her. Do you not know who she is? That's Ruth. Ruth, who? You know the woman that married Boaz in Bethlehem? That's right. And she's kin to the king. I'm not about to keep her out. Well, how would we? What will they say if they know we've let in some elderly woman? Oh, she's got throne rights. I'm letting her go on in. And so they greet her. Good morning, Mrs. Ruth. It's good to see you. How are you? Well, I'm doing fine. Well, how's everything in Bethlehem? Well, when I left early this morning, it was all right. I wanted to see my great-grandson. Yes, ma'am, you just come this way. So she hobbles right on through the gate and past the little guard station. And one of them says to her, now, Miss Ruth, I'm sure you know the way, but you need to go through this corridor. At the end of the corridor, you'll take a left. And then you'll follow that corridor right to the throne room. Oh, yes, sonny, I know. And so she goes all the way, hobbles all the way down through the car. She takes the left and follows the other car. And she comes to the door that leads into the throne room. She doesn't knock. She doesn't worry if she'll be accepted. She's kin to the king. She has throne rights. And so she comes right on into the throne. She mounts the throne and speaks with David and they fellowship and commune together. They enjoy one another's company. And she experiences what she came for. She's in the presence of the king. Oh, dear friend, all of us at our best hobble along in the Christian life. Don't tell me what a great Christian you are. I've already got a little sick stomach tonight. Don't tell me how wonderful you are. At our best, we hobble along. I know some of you may not hobble as bad as I do, but have you ever gone to church and hoped? Oh, they don't call on me to pray tonight. Lord, have mercy. The way I've been today, I hope they don't call on me. Well, even what's worse is when you walk in the door and you say, Lord, I wish I didn't have to preach tonight. I don't feel like getting up there tonight. You're going to have to really help us tonight. She hobbles on in, and you and I can hobble right into the presence of the King of Kings. Don't stay where you are tonight, dear friend. Don't think about all the guards between you and the king. Don't think about the distance from your place to his place. Do the best you can to hobble in his direction. And the first thing you know, all the doors will swing open and you'll be in the presence of the king. And that makes life worth living, to know that a rotten sinner like you, that ought to have been doomed and damned in Moab, can enjoy the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, brother. I came to try to be a blessing to you tonight, and I'm getting help. Isn't that precious? She has title rights. She's kin to them. She has throne rights. She's kin to them. Dear heart, can I encourage you tonight? Let us therefore come bold. That doesn't mean to kick the walls down. That means let us come with assurance. Let us come with faith and confidence under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, move towards the throne. Hobble towards the throne. There's a way of access into his presence. After they fellowshipped a while, after she'd enjoyed his company a while, I imagine she said, "Well, honey, I'm so glad I got to see you. This made my day. I wanted to come, and you received me so graciously. But I'm going to have to go back to Bethlehem." That's when King David spoke a little more authoritatively. "Oh, no, great-grandmother. You've got to stay and eat with us today. You can't go back to Bethlehem now. I've already told some of my servants to prepare a place for you at the table." He said, "In fact, I have to meet some dignitaries who are in town. You know how politics are, grandmother. I'm going to have to talk to them a while. But I tell you what, you go on in and sit at the table where the servants have your place prepared. And in a little while, I'll be there. And by the way, there'll be a lot of other people coming in who have been invited to the king's lunch today." So Ruth follows the servants. And she hobbles away from the throne and hobbles along behind them until she finally comes to the banqueting hall. Oh, every table was fixed so wonderfully. And she knew she was going to have her best etiquette at the table. This is the king's banqueting hall. And so she finds her place with the aid of the servants. And she sits down just like she belongs there. After a little while, she notices that there's several important looking people coming in. They sit here and sit there and sit over there and yonder. Then everyone starts to rise, and she said to herself, "Oh, David's coming in." And she pushed herself out of her chair up to stand with all the others. And you'll not believe what happened. David nodded his head at all the important people. And then he came over and sat down by this poor elderly woman. I hear some whispering in the background. "What is she doing? Who is she? Why is he not sitting with the dignitary on the other side of her? He sat down right beside that straggly-looking woman." Somebody says, "Shh. Don't let her hear you. She's kin to the king. She has table rights." If David invites his relatives, they have a place prepared. And so, while everybody looks on, she sits right beside the king, shoulder to shoulder, table setting to table setting. She's right beside the king. He talks to her like no one else is around. They laugh and have a time together as though they're the only two there. And David says to her grandmother, I know you have to go. Oh, she said, and I know you have 1,000 things to do, David. I didn't mean to take up so much of your day. Oh, he said, I wouldn't have had it any other way. Well, she said, I'm sorry, I'm going to go then. He said, now hold it. You know, grandmother, since great-grandmother, since I'm king, I have a lot of responsibilities. And so we always keep the chariots ready when I need to go somewhere. And since I'm not going anywhere today, I want you to ride in my chariot, great-grandmother. My servants will take you back to Bethlehem. She said, oh, no, I don't deserve anything like that. Oh, he said, I know, but you're my great-grandmother. And I want you to ride in the best chariot. And so the servants lead her out and put her in the best chariot. She sits down in this plush carriage. And then the servant begins to drive her from Jerusalem towards Bethlehem. Everybody thinks that this would be the king. And many bow down, and others show their respect. She laughs to herself. She says, what about that? They don't know the king's not riding, and they're respecting me like I'm somebody. But she's kin to the king. And so that makes her somebody, doesn't it? She rides on down towards Bethlehem. Somebody said, what's she doing getting out of that chariot? Oh, that's King David's great-grandmother. She has traveling rights. If he wants her to ride in the chariot, then get out of the way. He'll send her home in the chariot. She doesn't have to walk and hobble now. She's been in the presence of the king. And now she'll live in the strength of the king and ride in the power of the king. I want to tell you, dear friends, since we're kin to the Lord Jesus, we no longer have to live in our own strength. We no longer have to live in our own power. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. He lets me ride in the chariot of grace every now and then. And he tells me it's all right. I'll not be needing it today. You need it. You ever feel your great need for grace? You ever feel your great need for divine power? And then here comes the chariot. And God takes you along in his strength and his authority. She enjoyed the ride. The servants help her out of the chariot. She gets out of the chariot. And the first thing you know, her neighbors are gawking at Ruth riding in the chariot. One slips over to another neighbor's fence and says, what is going on? Why all this to do? I saw her hobbling out of here this morning, and this afternoon she comes back in the king's chariot. What's going on? And the other neighbor says, shh, do you not know? She's kin to the king. She's been up to Jerusalem. And now he has given her a ride home. When the chariot pulls off, your neighbors wouldn't be like this, I'm sure. But here they come. Ruth! Ruth! What are you doing in the chariot, honey? I can't believe this. Where have you been? And she says, I went to see my great-grandson. He's the king, you know. And one of them gets a little huffed and says, oh, she's going to tell us how great she is. But she doesn't tell them how great she is. She tells them how great the king is. She said, oh, you just wouldn't believe all the wealth of the king. And oh, his throne is just breathtaking. And I ate at the table. There were many dignitaries, and he gave me special attention right in the middle of all those dignitaries. She said, I not only had title rights, being kin to him, being his great-grandmother, and throne rights. I got to go right into his presence. But I had table rights. I ate lunch with him. I fellowshiped with him. We supped together. And she said, I have traveling rights. The chariot brought me right to my door. And the neighbors leave, and one said, well, I still don't think she ought to brag about it that way. But she's got testimony rights. You see, if you hadn't seen anything and you hadn't heard anything, you don't have a right to tell anything. The early disciples said, we cannot help but speak the things which we have both seen and heard. And if you've been hearing something and seeing something in the king's presence, you have testimony rights. Tell it. Tell it. Tell it. Boast of his grace. Boast of his glory. A boast. Make your boast in his kindness. Tell about his authority. Exalt his name. You're kin to the king. You have testimony rights. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. And just in case some of you think I've left the chapter, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He's fixed it to where we can be kin to the king. Our youngest daughter, up until the last year, has been unbelievably shy. We almost had to introduce her to her grandparents again every time we'd go by. She was sick when she was 14 months and had some drastic surgery, and God intervened, and we're grateful that the terrible mass has not come back. And until today, the only problem she's had in these years is a little digestive problem. But several years ago, she was probably about seven or eight. She's like her daddy. She's not a good shopper. Somebody asked me last night if I was going to bring my wife to this meeting. I said, I told her she was forbidden to come this close to commerce. I'm not a good shopper. And Acacia, our youngest, she's not a good shopper. I know you can't believe this, but if we're going to town, she'll beg to stay home. 14 years of age. Some time ago, her mother was shopping, and Acacia and I got tired, and I said to my wife, I said, Acacia and I are going to go out in the mall. You'll be here another 30 or 40 minutes. Here's the word. So we got outside the shop where my wife was shopping, and I saw a big sale sign on the men's clothing store. And I said to Acacia, you want to go see if they've got anything that's worth buying or looking at? Sure, she said. So we went to the shop. I don't know why these fellas don't learn better. Maybe they're trained this way. He started yakking as soon as we got near the door. Just yak, 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 yak. Some of it made sense, most of it didn't. He's trying to sell us, I guess, on himself. I'm ready to leave, and I hadn't even gone through the door. Just shut up and let me look. But he wouldn't stop. He saw I didn't respond very much, so he said to our little one, he said, this is a men's store, ma'am. You don't need to come in. Well, she just scooted up real close to my leg and grabbed my clothes. And she never responded. Of course, he didn't know her temperament, the way she is, and so he kept picking at her, picking at her, picking at her. He said, you know, the girl store is over there. I said, yes, her mother's over there. She came with me. He got down. He thought he would pick something out of her, apparently. He said, what is a girl doing in a boy's store? She's still holding on to my britches. She said, he's my daddy. And I come in here with him. That's all she could think of saying. She got the message across. Every now and then, when I rejoice that I'm a Christian, the devil will say, yeah, with all your blemishes and with all your failures, how can you say you're a Christian? Oh, and I say, I'm kin to the King. I have title rights. And when I'm fellowshipping with him and praying and trying to lay bare my heart, the devil says you don't have a right to be in his presence. And I have to answer him back, oh yes I do. I have throne rights. I'm kin to the King. I also have table rights. And he calls me come and dine. The master calleth come and dine. And I pull up to the table because I'm kin to the King. I also am blessed to ride in the chariot every now and then. And then I can tell the wonderful story of his grace because I have testimony rights. I'm kin to the King. Are you kin to the King tonight? Do you know him? Do you bear his name? Do you go boldly to the throne of grace? Do you fellowship with him? Do you enjoy his strength lifting you above your hobbling? Can you tell others about him over and over and over again? Ah, you have those rights. If you're kin to the King, may the Spirit of God take this simple little illustration from the life of Ruth and King David and somehow help us to sense our value, our worth in the family of God. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, his name was given to him, Jesus, which means Savior. For the angel said, he shall save his people from their sins. He's a wonderful Savior, dear heart. He still saves. The choir sang it earlier. Jesus saves. He still does. In fact, that might be a good one if we could, brother, to end up on tonight. Unless you have another one in your heart. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed.